Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a whole lot to do today. Sal Capaccio is going to stop by at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific time. We will put a bow on the Buffalo Bills season. But I got to start off the show today, because yesterday we played you some audio clips, right? Jerry Jones introduced himself as the head coach. I mean, Brian Schottenheimer as the head coach. But it's pretty much a press conference all about Jerry Jones. And Stephen Jones with his air quotes about the drought that the Cowboys have been in. And I don't understand how the Cowboys don't think they're in a drought, but that's what the Cowboys do. They kind of just play the drama wheel on how we could get it spinning and spinning and spinning with more stupid things being said and more drama and just dumping gasoline on the fire of the bleep storm of the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. You also had Pete Carroll introduced as the Raiders head coach. And Marshawn Lynch, we talked about this, and this may not be a good sign for Pete. I know he's getting up there in age, and he turns 74 come September, but he doesn't look like he's 74. He looks like he's like 60. Marshawn Lynch was in the back of the room and screamed out, "Raiders!" And that's what he did. And it kind of startled Pete, and Pete laughed it off. I thought he knew that Marshawn was there. I thought he knew that Marshawn Lynch was the one that screamed it out, and I wondered where that relationship was. A video since has emerged of Marshawn Lynch like sneaking up behind on Pete Carroll and like tapped him on the shoulder, and Pete was like, "Marshawn, what are you doing here?" He had no clue that he was there. He's like, "You didn't hear me scream out Raiders during the press conference?" He goes, "That was you." He's like, even Marshawn, to his credit, goes, "Yeah, who else would it have been? Because who else would have done that at the press conference?" So the awareness on Pete Carroll is something we need to monitor. I know it was a big day, so you got some nerves on the big day and all that. But then you had the bell of the ball of just terrible press conferences. And I don't know who was worse. Liam Cohen with his Napoleon Dynamite kind of feel to it, where if Napoleon Dynamite and a college football coach had a baby, I think the offspring would have been Liam Cohen. That's the vibes that I got yesterday. And also Shad Khan, I know that he can't gamble, but did he take the under on the amount of time that he would give to reporters, you know, per answer? Because I don't think he gave an answer longer than 10 seconds. So you had Shad Khan basically pretending as if Trent Baalke wasn't a casualty in order to bring in Liam Cohen, that Liam Cohen didn't want that, which, why can't we be truthful? And why can't we just say, "Yeah, I wasn't going to take the job if Trent was going to be here"? Everyone knows that. Like, you could have never watched football before, and you would have known the reason why Liam Cohen is there is because Trent Baalke is not. And also, there is just trying hard, and sometimes it comes off as disingenuous. And I'm sure, right, that Liam Cohen is a good dude. He's an energetic guy. His players like him. And just because you win the press conference, like Aaron Glenn, for example, won the press conference yesterday with the Jets. He probably, out of the four coaches that were introduced yesterday, with Jerry Jones, Aaron Glenn, you had Liam Cohen and Pete Carroll. You would think, right, out of those four coaches, and I'm kidding when I say Jerry Jones, we all know it's Brian Schottenheimer. If I would have said, who wins the press conference, you probably think Pete Carroll, right? just because he's done this so many times and he is someone that is charismatic, right? And I think everyone likes Pete Carroll. But Aaron Glenn, to me, showed me the most yesterday at the podium. However, we still know that means nothing because you rather win the press conference than lose the press conference. Hot take of the day. But you could win the press conference and still be a crap coach. Like, it happens. The Jets still got to find a quarterback. The Jets still have to find a way to go make the playoffs next year because that should be the expectation for Jets fans is go be a wild card team next year. You know, I know we got to figure out, you know, what the quarterback... that didn't sound right as a Patriot fan. But, you know, you got to figure out who the quarterback's going to be. And I do think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And if Rodgers is there, they, you know, should have the goal of making the playoffs next year. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to be able to do that because... We know how many times whenever the Jets have expectations, they usually don't meet those expectations. So I thought Aaron Glenn won the press conference yesterday. Liam Cohen lost it, though. I know social media could be ridiculous, and you don't want to be the joke, though, on social media. And I wonder with Liam Cohen how his players take it, right? If you're a player yesterday, a player on the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think you have one or two reactions. Number one, you watch that press conference and you go, oh boy, we got a joke as a head coach. Whether that's fair or not. But yesterday, he seemed out of place at that press conference. It was almost as if he was trying to sell you as if you were a recruit back when it wasn't just, here's the NIL money, that's all we care about. It was very college-y-like, rah-rah, I'm Liam Cohen, everything's great, I love life, this is the greatest day ever. Duval! Give me the sound in there, Stu, come on.
Duval!
Oh, boy! Ah! Like, that's just cringeworthy, Liam Cohen! Napoleon Duval. Dynamite! Oh, no, stop! Oh, boy! You can't be doing that. I don't know what was worse. That, or then the Jaguars put out a video where he's like, welcome Jaguars Nation, let's get this thing going. And he did the Duval again with all the staffers in the background, as if he was at like a school assembly at an auditorium. It was really cringeworthy. But all of his answers, I'm sitting there and I go, I just don't believe, and he's like, nice guy, right? Good story. But outside of his love for his dad and his dad being a coach, it's almost as if I can't take anything that he said seriously yesterday. I felt as if he was just lying through the entire press conference. And you know the biggest question you're going to get asked about is Trent Baalke. And after Trent Baalke, you're going to be asked about Trevor Lawrence. But really, people are tuning in yesterday to see how you would respond about the Trent Baalke questions. And I would assume, now maybe this is why the Jaguars, since Shad Khan has taken over, they've only won 30% of their games, and they're a dreadful football team, and this is the sixth coach that they've hired since 2012 under the tutelage of one Shad Khan. You would assume, though, at least the PR people would prep Shad Khan and Liam Cohen better than what they did yesterday. But it's amazing to me how that was not done and how the answers were just, we're not addressing pretty much what happened with Trent Baalke. Because anyone tuning in with the brain knows that that was kind of bullcrap. So when we get to all this stuff with Liam Cohen, and when I'll make the point here, I think if you're a player, you take that one or two ways yesterday. One, you're like, oh my God, we hired a joke as a head coach. Or two, you say to yourself, maybe this is just a player's coach and I'll be able to have free reign. But let's be real about it. Like, winning and losing the press conference in the grand scheme of things really means little. We've seen Adam Gase, right, lose a press conference, be a disaster coach. I've also seen, and right, even Daly brought this up in the YouTube chat, like Nick Sirianni lost his opening press conference. Last time I checked, Nick Sirianni has been wild card round, Super Bowl. So pretty much, when you take a glance and you look at this, the entirety of winning and losing a press conference, you know, there's coaches that win press conferences and go on to be great coaches. Also press conferences that are held that a coach wins and goes on to be a horrible coach and vice versa. But let's hear some of the audio yesterday from this cringeworthy press conference. I'll start with Shad Khan. Because, like, Liam Cohen, right, it's a fish out of water. First time being a head coach. Shad Khan's now been an owner for 10-plus seasons. Here is Shad Khan and convincing Liam Cohen to come to the Jaguars.
There had to be some work on your end that last Wednesday. Trent's out, and I assume you got on the phone with Liam and convinced him to change his mind and get back to Jacksonville and let's get this done.
One thing that was different about this search, that I was directly involved with the candidates and their representatives, okay? So, I was involved with all of them.
He was going back to Tampa. How did you get him on Wednesday night on the phone to change his mind and get back here Thursday? And does that say a lot about your conviction that he was there?
I mean, I believe that, yes. I believe he's the right person. And as I said earlier, I mean, I'd heard a lot about him. And then to get to meet him on video and why this, I felt, was just a great fit.
Is there any place that Shad Khan wanted to be at less than that press conference yesterday? He wasn't even in the same zip code of what of even coming close to answering what that question was. And that's the biggest non-answer I've ever heard. So let's hear a little bit from Liam Cohen. So Liam Cohen on the drama with the Bucks after taking this job. Let's hear what Liam Cohen had to say about that.
Look, the opportunity to coach in Tampa was a phenomenal one to get my feet wet in the NFL as the offensive coordinator, and I thank them so much for that opportunity. As you continue to do more research and gaining more information as you go, it started to become, more clear with every hour that this was an opportunity that you just can't pass up for so many different reasons. And you ultimately want to do truly what's best for you and your family. And that's what this came down to.
Did this have anything to do with the change in the front office structure?
No, that was not the factor.
Bleep. Nah, like, I get it, right? Everyone knows the truth there. And to say it wasn't a factor, come on. Like, at least just say, nothing against Trent, though. Shad is going to work really hard to get the next GM in here so we could build a winner. Like, everyone knows you weren't taking that job if Trent Baalke was still there. And that was a major negotiating power on the behalf of Liam Cohen. So this one I thought was actually, I don't know why. Nationally, this has not caught on. But I went back last night. So I've been binge watching the last 2 days. I'm a huge 24 fan. One of my favorite shows of all time. I think it's like, I would say Sopranos is one for me. Entourage 2, 24, 3. So Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland came out in 2016. For whatever reason, I never watched it. On Saturday, I started binge watching it. Pretty much took off Sunday because of all the football. And then started binge watching it again last night. I didn't go to bed last night till 3 in the morning. I'm like, oh, one more episode. Because the episodes, they load so quickly. So it's like you have 2 seconds to pause it. And once they start the other episode and they have the trailer, they have the opening scene, I'm like, oh, I'm hooked for another 45 minutes. So that's what I'm binge watching. There's, I think, 22 episodes in season one. I'm already through season one. And I'm already on at one episode in on season two. I think there's 3 seasons total. So last night, I'm like, okay, I got to watch the entirety of this Liam Cohen press conference. I didn't get in bed till 3 a.m., and then I watched a 30-minute press conference, so I wasn't out like a light until about like 3:30, 3:40 last night. But for some reason, I thought this answer was the funniest to me just because it's such bullcrap. So Liam Cohen, they did joint practices, I guess, in the offseason with the Jaguars and the Buccaneers, and I gather it was on the Jaguars' turf. And this is Liam Cohen on coming to the Jaguars' facility for the first time.
Great question, Demetrius. That was a huge opportunity for me to see this. I walked through these halls, and I'm like, oh my, this place is awesome. And you start to see it, and then during the course of practice, those few days, you're obviously competing against the defense on one side of the field, and I kept hearing oohs and ahs on the other side. And you go back and watch the tape, and you see them throwing the football and BTJ going down the field and these guys making plays. And that was cool to see. I got an opportunity to talk to Josh Hines Allen that day. I got an opportunity to talk to Luke Fortner that day, guys that I had had a relationship with, if you will. Those were all little parts of this, right, where you have an opportunity to look back and say, man, that thing's got a shot, right?
Like, does anyone take him seriously? It's easy to sell now. But you're telling me when it's July or August and you're there for joint practices, you're walking around the Jaguars facility going, oh, it's BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr. Oh, look at these facilities. Oh, look at Shad Khan's mustache. Oh, look at the Jaguars. This team's got a shot. They got a shot. Give me a break. Give me a break. That was a terrible recruiting pitch yesterday. And here's the thing. I looked at Liam Cohen yesterday before I watched the press conference. I'm like, all right, it's a good hire. They didn't get Ben Johnson, but they got Liam Cohen, right? And I agree, the Jaguars, they got some pieces, easy division, only one team in their way. You can make that thing work. And you got an offensive-minded coach who, let's be real, was second on your list. But after hearing that press conference, I don't think you're human if you can't sit back and go, hold on, wait a second, they may have hired the wrong guy. Now, ultimately, you could have a terrible press conference and go on to be a great coach. It has happened before, as I talked about with Nick Sirianni. But, Stu, I don't know about you. That press conference yesterday just gave me major cringe vibes. And as I was watching it, I was either laughing or was just saying, no, stop, just stop talking, please. Just get off the podium. If I was the PR person for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I would have been like, all right, guys, that's all the time we have today. We'll email you out something later. Shad's done and Liam Cohen's gone. Because Liam Cohen talked way too much and Shad Khan didn't talk enough. All right? Both of them. Get him out. Get him, like get him out. The damage was already done. But that's the Jaguars. They can mess up a one-car funeral procession these days. So, Stu, what did you think of the Liam Cohen press conference? Because I was intrigued by it.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting. I can't say it gives me a lot of confidence that they're going to be good and he's going to be good. Again, he could be, but I don't know. I feel pretty weird about the whole situation now.
So I asked Tiki Barber this when he was in the newsroom today. I go, if you're a former player, do you kind of just look back and go, man, we got a joke of a head coach, or oh, this is a player's coach that I could just walk all over? And he was like, yeah. There's a lot of work to do on that one. Because even Tiki said it comes off. You know, he can be a nice guy, all that stuff. It's just like a joke of a coach, right? When you sit up there and conduct yourself like that at the podium. But also, it's a new coach now in 2025. It's like you got to be a little bit college-y, I feel. And then you also got to treat these guys like grown men. You know, I think that you got to be a player's coach now to succeed, but you can't be a doormat. And that's my question with Liam Cohen. We know he's a player's coach, but is he going to be a doormat? And can you lead a room of 53 grown men? That's a question that I have. So I'm now most intrigued by Liam Cohen. Stu, who are you most intrigued by when you take a look back at the six hires that we have found out about so far?
It's a great question. It's probably Schottenheimer, just because of the whole situation with Dallas and Jerry and how bad that can be, I think. Because I think Mike McCarthy's a good coach. They obviously had some injuries this year. They weren't that good this year. But maybe you're kind of going to regret, you know, letting go of McCarthy for Jerry's mouthpiece. I don't know.
So I said this before and I'll say it again. I would just respect Jerry Jones more if he just coached the team. And you know what? I'm going to say something that I probably would not hold myself to. I feel like I shouldn't even criticize Brian Schottenheimer. This is all on Jerry Jones. So if like Schottenheimer messes up next year, I'm sure we'll go off and criticize him. But this is all on Jerry Jones because he's hiring someone to be a head coach that none of the other 31 teams would end up hiring. And this is what I would ask Jerry Jones. Now, I didn't watch the entirety of the Cowboys press conference, but I watched enough. I would have said there was rumors about Kellen Moore becoming the next head coach. And I've asked this question, a similar question in press conferences like this before. You know, I remember when the Mets introduced Carlos Beltran as their manager, even though he never managed a game with them because of the Astros' whole cheating scandal. And I said to Brody Van Wagenen, hey, Brody, you know, there's a lot of people that wanted Joe Girardi as the next manager of the Mets. Why isn't Joe Girardi... Nothing against Carlos, but why isn't Joe Girardi the manager of the Mets today? If I'm at that press conference yesterday, I don't know if it was asked or not. I'm saying, hey, you guys were interested in Kellen Moore. What was the deciding factor on why you guys thought Brian Schottenheimer would be better than Kellen Moore? Because they're both like similar, except Kellen Moore is younger, and I think he has a higher ceiling. And I'm not a Kellen Moore fan. So I'm fascinated by Liam Cohen. Stu is fascinated by the Cowboys with Brian Schottenheimer. What say you? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Let's have a little bit of a conversation about the referees when we come on back. Because I got a few takes about the way that we're talking about officiating in the NFL. We'll get to that on the other side. We're off and running. Very, very, very busy Tuesday. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to play you one more Liam Cohen audio. So, Stu, one more time, give me the original Duval chant that he decided to come up with in his press conference.
Duval.
I kind of hope the Jaguars become really damn good. Because that's going to go one or two ways. Like, now it's being used as a joke. If they become really damn good, people are going to play that all the time. Like, Duval.
Duval.
Like, what, did he have an edible before that press conference? Duval.
Duval.
Or if they become, well, I wouldn't say become really bad because they are really bad. If the Jaguars lose, like, humiliating fashion, that will be used as well. Like, Trevor Lawrence picked off at the goal line. The Jaguars lose their fourth game in a row. Duval.
Duval.
So now you know, like, all these cheesy TV reporters, right? They're going to ask him, oh, can you do the Duval chant? Like, coach, do the Duval chant. So this was in one of the breakoff interviews after the press conference where they asked him to do the Duval chant again. This is Liam Cohen.
But this place is prime for winning. It's prime for winning right now, and I think we can get there.
All right, Coach, I know you've been working on that Duval. Can I get one from you before we let you go?
Duval! Here we go.
Could we isolate, Stu, that Duval, and let's compare that Duval to the original one? Go ahead.
Duval! Here we go.
Give me the other one?
Duval!
Which one do you like better, Stu?
I don't know. I guess the second one's a little better, but it's not much better. I don't know. It still sounds off. It's not how it's supposed to sound.
Samter, which one do you like better? You go Duval 1 or Duval 2? Play me Duval, the second one first. Go ahead.
Duval.
And give me the other one.
Duval.
Go ahead.
I like the first one. I like the really cheesy one. The second one, you can tell he's trying too hard. The first one was...
So you're saying the original?
The original. That was from the heart. That's what he thinks of Duval. That's what Duval is to him. That's who Liam Cohen is.
So in terms of doing the chant correctly, I would say the second time he did it was better. Like, Duval! But the first one, especially when he like raises his eyebrows and he just looks really creepy... Duval.
Duval.
It's almost as if he becomes a good coach, that's him like casting the spell on the rest of the league. Look into my eyes. Duval.
Duval.
Bella B. in Calgary says, the creepy level he exudes is so intense that the word cringe doesn't even begin to describe it. It's a good way of putting it. All righty, let's get to... the referees. So, I want to have a conversation about the officials. I was more irate with the officials 2 weeks ago. Like, I don't know if you guys agree, but after the Texans game, I was more irate with the officials because I don't know how to hit the quarterback anymore. So, Will Anderson, I didn't think it was a vicious hit. I know you're not allowed to make contact with the head. But I didn't think that was enough to warrant a flag. And then also, when Mahomes slides late, that's got to be something that the league probably won't fix, but they should fix it. And the crazy part about that one is Mahomes slid late, and the Texans players crashed on each other. They didn't even crash on Mahomes, and it still got a flag. So I was more irate with the officials 2 weeks ago, but I get the optics. When you have the Chiefs, when they have won back-to-back Super Bowls, they've won three championships since February of 2020, people are looking to come up with excuses on why Kansas City wins all these games. That's just the way that it happens. So there's a heightened awareness with the officials now when it comes to Kansas City. And you look back at this AFC Championship game, I don't understand how once it went to review, how you look at the Xavier Worthy catch, that ball hits the ground. Now, I stopped trying to figure out what is a catch a long time ago, but when the announcers, and we know they don't, right, or, you know, shoot 100%, and these TV referees, I can't stand them. But when they're all thinking that that was going to come back, and it doesn't, that lays the foundation, and that opens up the box, which it doesn't take much to do, on, uh-oh, here we go, the NFL, right, the New York, they're all in on the Chiefs trying to win, which I don't buy. But when you have a team consistently there, and you look at the way that they won a Super Bowl 2 times ago with the very ticky-tack holding call on James Bradbury when the officials weren't calling anything, you know, I just want consistency. And you look back at that Xavier Worthy play, the ball hits the ground. So, I like, to me, that should have been ruled not a catch. Now, I'm not saying the officials are why the Chiefs won the game, because I don't believe that. At the end of the day, Dalton Kincaid catch the freaking ball, and there's, I'm not saying you're going to win the game, but there's a chance you at least tie the game or you go on to win the game. But the one that still doesn't make sense to me, and this is where I think it's very selective. So the definition to overturn something is it needs to be conclusive without reasonable with reasonable doubt, right? Like, it has to be clear and obvious. And you have to have reasonable, there has to be enough evidence to say, okay, this is obvious, and this is something that we're not going to this is something that we're going to overturn. It has to be obvious. But how many times do you see something called on the field? Like, oh, he stopped short, and then it's not clear and obvious, and they give it to him. Now, on the first look, I didn't think he got it. But when you have the overhead view, and there's an overhead view of it, and it looks like he got it, and Forward Progress should have given it to him, I don't get how you don't overturn that. And I thought that was a massive part in the game because it was 22-21. It's early in the fourth quarter. We know Mahomes could stage a comeback, obviously. But they're driving. And then when the Chiefs then turned that into a touchdown and a two-point conversion, that took all the momentum away for the Buffalo Bills. So here's what I'm just saying. There are calls that the Chiefs get. Everyone gets calls. I don't think the NFL is like, oh, we're calling in the hit. You know, let's make sure the Chiefs get all these calls so we have Taylor Swift there for the Super Bowl. Like, I don't think that's happening. Now, like, we could have fun in saying that, but I really hope that we're not talking about the Super Bowl 2 Mondays from now and we're bitching about the officials. Like, you could always bitch about the officials somewhere in a game. And especially with social media, you could make things look the way that they don't appear. And also, you could find holding or a call on pretty much every play when you slow things down and you screen grab. But I hope there's not an egregious call in this game, because there's nothing less that I enjoy doing than sitting here after a big game and bitching about the officials. But that's a storyline. Like, going into the Super Bowl, and I know that we're still 2 weeks out, but if you look at this week, which is the bye week, and then you have the craziness, you know, all happened. We'll be out in New Orleans all the time, all that week, doing 5 shows from Radio Row at the convention center. But you look at the storylines heading into this one. It's right. On the Chiefs side, it's Mahomes chasing Brady, Andy Reid chasing Belichick, the dynasty of the Chiefs. Travis Kelce's always a storyline. I think more so last year than this year, but Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are always a storyline. Like, that's the Chiefs in a nutshell. And then you look at the Eagles, it's Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni redemption, the greatness of their defense, you know, the Andy Reid Philadelphia storyline, round two. And then the other storyline that's there are the officials. And what the heck are we going to get from the officials? And I just hope the officials don't become a storyline. And I hope that they get it right on Super Bowl Sunday, because it'd be very disappointing if we're sitting here, you know, 2 Mondays from now and go, oh, the Chiefs got a big call in a big game, and it was something that was obviously something that should not have been called, or something that should not have gone their way. So that's kind of my thoughts on the officials. But, you know, I do think there's people that are tired with the officials and they're tired of the Chiefs. Now, Carlos with a K is here, which, by the way, I'm very disappointed in Carlos with a K.
Here we go.
You have any idea why I'm disappointed with you?
Not a clue.
Because you're, you know, you're fugazi.
How am I fugazi?
You fugazi.
Oh, I can be accused of a lot of things.
You fugazi.
Fugazi's not one of them.
You're not a man of your word.
How so?
How so? There's a man that was here in the summer with us. His name is Carlos Ortiz.
That's me.
I'm looking at him right now. He looks very familiar to the guy that I'm talking to right now. And he goes, Saquon Barkley. Or actually, there's a guy on TikTok who they were talking about Saquon Barkley. He's like, Saquon Barkley, which is just awesome. And he keeps like, Saquon Barkley. And there was a guy by the name of Carlos who was a Giant fan. Who in the moment I'm talking about. And he was getting a little cocky. He was feeling himself. Yeah. You were trying to be a little Sean Marash-like. And you're like peacocking around, right? Oh, I'm the Giants. Oh, we stink. But, man, we don't have to deal with Saquon Barkley. And you were trying to justify your hurt. You were trying to pretend like you weren't hurt. Pretend like your heart wasn't broken. And you were basically going at the kneecaps of Saquon Barkley. And you're like, that guy's never going to stay healthy. And I took the easiest bet of my life. You said 7.5 games over under. And I said, I'll take the over.
I initially said 5.5 too.
Yeah.
Remember that?
And I helped you. I said, no, we could beef that up a little bit. And you said that you were going to take me out for a really nice dinner. Now, that bet, I think, cleared like 2 months ago.
Okay. I did ask you not some time ago
about that. It's
January
28th. And I'm emaciated. I got no food in my tummy.
The one time I said, hey, what are your plans this weekend? You were busy. I forgot what you were doing, but I can't keep up with your all-star schedule. What
you
am I supposed to chase
time.
You down? I asked you one time. Dude, what do I do? Outside of here, I'm always home.
I'm trying to find this message, by the way, from you.
No, it's scroll up. It's there. But listen,
we talk a decent amount, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's a Puerto Rican restaurant, and I believe our friend Andrew Perloff invited himself. I'm happy to have him, too.
Yeah, he should pick up the tab for you, if we're being honest. You know, the amount of money he makes.
Then he'll pick up your tab. Being said, I invited you. You were too busy. I'm not going to chase you to pay out the bet. I'm happy to do so. I made the bet. I am a man of my word, and I'd love to break bread over you. I just can't chase you down for
it. You break bread over me or break bread with me?
With you.
I hope you don't hit me with like a baguette or something.
Oh, like, you know, a couple of platinings. Bang.
Wait, hold on. I'm looking at this right now. I remember you reaching out to me.
Yeah.
And it was like a kind of a last second, you know, very late offer. I can't find anything. Ooh, you had some words to say about this person, words to say about that person. You wish me a happy Hanukkah.
I think I tried to spell it Chinooka as well.
Oh, yeah. That's a good line. And then, you know, a lot of Gelb name dropping. You talking about
bull
riding.
Yeah, our conversations are very random and nothing in order.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this, Carlos.
It's there.
I'm not seeing anything. I invited you to a Ranger game tonight. You blew me off for that. I don't see anything here.
Somebody has to
work. I'll find it, but I'm just saying.
But I did put that out there. Gentlemen, I did invite him. I will find a record.
One time.
I'll screenshot it. That's still better than nothing.
Now, hold on. Mike, you've been around a long time. You're old. Let me just ask you this. If I lost a bet to you, and let's say I went to go pay off the bet, and the one time that you asked me, like day of, to go out for dinner, it didn't work for your schedule, isn't it on the person that lost the bet to then at least follow up a second time?
As somebody who's lost a bet to you and you called me out multiple times for not paying up that bet until I eventually did pay that bet.
What bet was that? Oh, dinner?
Yeah, it was dinner a year ago. Mm-hmm. I do know. Zach is a man who says, hey, once you lose the bet, he wants quick pay up. It's not like hey, let me hit you up one time. It's like, hey, as soon as the bet is official, I want you to at least make the effort and make multiple efforts to make it happen. One time, Carlos, listen, I love you, man. I know you're busy. Congratulations on the gig. You're amazing at what
Thanks.
You do, buddy. Go Rangers.
Yeah, he's
fine. But, you know, you got to make more of an effort for Zach Elb.
All right, what are you doing this Saturday?
This Saturday?
Oh, let me check my schedule. I got a flight, or I got an appearance.
Are going to New Orleans this weekend.
I care about my physical appearance these days. I'm going to eat like a fat pig in New Orleans. So to do this Saturday, can we do it in March? Can we find the day in March?
Sure. I'm happy to find a day
okay,
in March.
Okay, I found the message. November 3rd. All right, boys, pick one. It was two
and
restaurants
I gave you multiple
with myself
yes.
and Perloff. Perloff said, wow, both look amazing. I'm pretty close to the second one, which looks amazing. Saquon walked off before halftime, Zach. Looks like it's actually under 7.5 to me. And then never heard from you again.
All right. But proof is in the pudding. I did at least hit it.
You didn't even ask for a date. You didn't say the time.
Yeah,
you didn't say where.
Let's progress to getting there. I mean, I don't know where we're going.
Yeah, March.
Why don't you, all right, March.
By the end of March.
Pick one of the restaurants or one of your places. We're happy to do this.
This is not on me. I want to experience your culture. You pick the place.
Fine.
You tell me. Here are a few weekends that work for you.
All right,
I'll look
done.
Through my busy schedule. I'm busy the first weekend of March.
I'm going to forget by the time this updated.
Exactly. Because you are a disingenuous, lying sack of you-know-what. I'm sorry.
Keep that energy.
You were raised better than this.
Keep that energy when that mouth suckling whatever you order
Jeez,
comes off
whoa.
Of the plate.
Oh, take it. Maybe I don't want to do this dinner.
You want to dump that? No.
This ain't the Bart Winkler show. We don't dump things. Unless if you curse. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, I may need to call your wife because I know your wife keeps you in check. And I may tell your wife, Carlos Ortiz, you married a man that's not a man of his word. And she'd be like, yeah, I know.
She'll yell at you for taking money out of her pocket.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll do a news brief next. Standing to the left of me, or sitting to the left of me, is someone that I can no longer trust. There's a circle of trust. He's on the outside looking in now, and I'm very disappointed by that. You can never trust a guy that spells Carlos with a K. Like, let's just be real. Here is Carlos Ortiz.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
That Carlos with the K, he moves quickly. A military guy, you give him an order, he executes it very quickly. I just got a text during the break, which his update ended 3 minutes ago, to me and Perloff. What's your weekend availability in March? Time to cash in on this dinner bet. Screw Saquon. I'm good any of the weekends in March. So we had to hunt him down to get what we wanted, but ultimately we'll get what we want. Let's go to Travis and Jason Kelce. This was before they knew the Super Bowl matchup. This is on the New Heights podcast. Listen up when we try to get a little intel on if Jason Kelce will be rooting for the Eagles or his brother in the Super Bowl.
From R.L. Baber, no dumb questions. If the Chiefs play the Eagles in the Super Bowl next year, will Jason root for Travis?
That's not the question. It says, who will Jason root for? I will root for the Eagles, of course.
It's bullshit.
Because I will always be an Eagle.
Such bullshit.
First and foremost. Yeah.
All right.
I'll also root for Travis to have a good game, of course, because he's my brother. But no, I'll definitely be cheering on the Eagles.
Well, there you go, Baber. Got what you asked for. Good luck to your Eagles.
That's the end of that question.
I think on media night, my question to Travis Kelce is going to be, do you actually believe your brother is rooting for the Eagles over you? And then if he says yes, it would be like, doesn't that piss you the bleep off? Like, Kylie Kelce grew up as an Eagles fan. And she's made it clear that she always roots for the Eagles. She won't wear Chiefs gear. But Jason Kelce, it's your brother. I know that was your team, but you're not playing there anymore. I know you love Philadelphia. And it's almost as if you never left the team because you're always still around the facility. But how do you want your brother to win the Super Bowl? He basically said, I'll root for Travis, have a big game, but I'm rooting for the Eagles. We got to ask Travis about that at media night. Let's go to Lance Zierlein, longtime talk show host on John and Lance on ESPN 97.5 in H-Town. Bobby Slowick out as the Texans coordinator. This has been an issue brewing as a long time between C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick.
C.J. Stroud came to visit the Texans, and Bobby Slowick was telling him, okay, they were watching stuff on tape. Now, before I tell you this, when C.J. was at Ohio State, he really didn't talk to the O.C. at all. He didn't think he knew ball. He didn't think the offense coordinator was very smart. So he would only talk to Ryan Deck. He comes into Houston. Bobby Slowick is trying to tell him some stuff, and C.J. just says, oh, yeah, I know that we call this, you know, whatever, XY switch, whatever it would be at Ohio State. And apparently Bobby Slowick just kind of jumped him. Said, I don't give a what you call it, Ohio State. That's college. This is pro football. And Bobby kind of got in his face about it, you know. And CJ's not one to back down at all. And CJ, and I don't know if Bobby was testing him or I don't know what the deal was, but CJ jumped up and got back in his face. And it was very contentious. It had to be kind of broken up. And so when CJ went to his next draft meeting, I talked to the team where CJ went, because I asked his team, hey, have you heard anything about this with CJ Stroud? And they said, oh, we asked CJ how his last visit went. And he said, terrible, terrible. I don't think I'll be going there. People who trained, like CJ's whole crew, did not want him to go to Houston. But then in discussing all of it last year, I heard it was squashed. Like, there was no issue. Bobby and him were good.
So I think two things could be true. Could Bobby Slowick act like a jackass? Potentially. And then the other part is, CJ Stroud, what I've realized the last 2 years, he thinks he's like all the way up here, right? He thinks as if he's like an established 15-year veteran in the same class as a Brady Mahomes, you know, Montana. When you're giving advice to a rookie, I know you mean well by it, but it doesn't come off the right way as a second-year quarterback, as if you're, you know, telling Caleb Williams to come over and you have to listen to every single word that he says. So there's got to be some truth in the middle there. But if CJ Stroud didn't think he was going to be a Texan, and they still did all that in year one, and then year two was okay, and now Bobby Slowick's out, I do believe there is some truth in there, but it's just bizarre. Finally, here is Woody Johnson. Has he evaluated himself as an NFL owner yet?
Absolutely. I have to look in the mirror and right. I have to be a better owner. And I'm trying to be better. And I do self-scout. And a lot of people scout for me, you know.
How can you be a better owner, in your view?
I think I did it today by introducing you to the two leaders of this team. The second is just to have, I've got to have patience.
Woody, Zach Gelb here, New York Post. You've introduced a lot of GMs and coaches before. Why will this time actually be any different? We should probably go through all the owners in the league. And where's the approval rating at for these owners? Do we approve or do we disapprove of these NFL owners for all 32 NFL owners? And I guess we could bring on Bart Winkler to represent the Packers is the way that we'll end up doing it. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Sal Capaccio going to join us to recap the Bills season at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific time. But we come on back. Jim Knowles is off to Happy Valley as the next defensive coordinator for the Penn State Nittany Lions. We saw Ryan Day somewhat get the monkey off his back this year. He didn't beat Michigan, and that's how we thought it would have been said this year, but he ended up winning a national championship. So who are the college football coaches with the most pressure entering this season to win it all? I have three. We'll get to that on the other side. Sal Capaccio, as I said, still to come at 4:20 p.m. Eastern, 1:20 p.m. Pacific time. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.